This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Reach us at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Saquon Barkley, 15 carries for the fewest yards of any back who ever carried the ball 15 times in the NFL plus since 1960. And at one point, he had like 8 carries for negative 8 yards. You think, as a matter of fact, Ryan Clark tweeted at me, what excuses is Max going to make tomorrow? Well, tomorrow is today. And I'll tell you the excuses. They're not excuses, they're explanations. Look, if you are tackled in the backfield as soon as you touch the ball, what are you supposed to do? There's nowhere to go. There's nothing to do. As soon as you touch the ball, you're tackled by multiple defenders. That's not taking a tackle for a loss. That's getting sacked. They sacked the running back. Where are you supposed to go? If you have ESPN News on right now, you see every time he touches the ball, there's someone on him. If not multiple defenders on him. There's nowhere to go. 3, 4, 5, 6 guys on him. And that's because Mike Tomlin's game plan was to send all 11 at number 26. Don't let Saquon beat you. By the way, Saquon still had some nice plays in the passing game. Caught some passes. But couldn't get anything going on the ground. That's not on Saquon. Well, if Saquon's actually going to take all that attention, shouldn't a good young quarterback like Daniel Jones, if he is a good young quarterback, make them pay? He did kind of early on. Daniel Jones played a nice game for the most part. TJ Watt made a great play on him. I'm not holding that against Daniel Jones. But then in the red zone, the Giants driving down the field, they're going to come away with 7 points. And instead, he coughs up the ball. At least they're going to come away with a field goal, but likely 7 points. Instead, he coughs up the ball. And he does it because he's trying to force something to happen when he just needs to throw away the ball or take a sack. And, you know, that's a second-year quarterback. By the way, he didn't fumble, which is a big thing. A couple times, it's like, oh, here comes the famous Daniel Jones fumble. Didn't happen. And even had he completed the pass that wound up being batted into the air and intercepted, likely the Giants lose to a better team. I'm not putting that one on Daniel Jones. I'm not putting it on Saquon Barkley. Darius Slayton was good. And by the way, everyone knew he was good since last year. The Giants were like, oh, we have a number one receiver. I think they're right. But so if you have the number one receiver, you have the back, maybe you have a good young quarterback. Let's see how Daniel Jones continues to develop. You don't have an offensive line still. Still, there's no offensive line. Still. I know they were, they were in this percentile last year. And yes, they've gotten better because if you spend first and second round picks, year after year after year and give out big free agent contracts, eventually you should be respectable. But come on. You know what Saquon Barkley would do behind the Dallas offensive line? Even this version of the Dallas offensive line. As is. As a 21-year-old rookie, Saquon Barkley had 2,048 yards from scrimmage. By contrast, now, by the way, he did that behind a bad offensive line with no quarterback. By contrast, Ezekiel Elliott, where the offense was totally built around him, behind a great offensive line with a good quarterback, has never had 2,048 yards in a season. That was Saquon's rookie year, 21 years old. Then last year he was banged up, and this year so far, the Steelers, one of the better defenses in the NFL, with Mike Tomlin at the helm, one of the better coaches in the NFL, sent every single resource they had to stop Saquon Barkley. Everyone on the field. And the Giants couldn't do anything with it. Same old for the Giants. It really bothers me. Here's Mike Tomlin on shutting down Saquon after the game.
We had a commitment, and we weren't going to be bashful about that commitment. We thought that guy was a catalyst for whatever that they were going to do offensively. We put our secondary in harm's way some in an effort to do so. But it's a team game. They embraced that challenge. We needed to stack the line of scrimmage. We need to bring people like Mike Hilton and so forth, and we did. We did what we thought was necessary to minimize his impact on the game.
Right. So what do the Giants do to counter? You got to make them pay for that. And better yet, you got to have better protection, better run blocking, better scheming to pick some of those guys up. And that does include Saquon Barkley. Barkley can block better. He can read the defense better. It's just like more of the same for the Giants. Are they trending in the right direction? I don't know. If you're bad for this long, then you're going to get some high draft picks. They better not have missed on Daniel Jones. They can't have. He looks like he has some talent. And he stopped fumbling, and I'm encouraged by his progress. But when you reach for a quarterback at 6 in the draft, you better be taking a Hall of Famer. Like, you got to be, you have to have a franchise quarterback for at least a decade, or you stink at your job. Gettleman. Been GM for a while now. The Giants stink every year. Brian in Florida, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Hello, bud.
Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, Max, yeah, just real quick before I get started, I just want to say I'm a real big fan of yours. I enjoy listening to you every morning and hearing what you have to say. Very knowledgeable guy, stand-up guy.
Thank you.
Real quick, I'm a Steeler fan, a huge Steeler fan. Obviously, the game went, like, my way last night. But I'm also, a football fan. And, you know, I have to kind of go piggyback what you're saying about your team, the Giants. When we talk about all these teams and how they're bringing players in and they're drafting players. And you touched on it right before you took my call, where at some point, like every other team, you got to go to the general manager. I mean, yeah, you reached at number 6 for Daniel Jones. He looks promising. I personally think he's going to be decent. But what good is he going to be? Just like Saquon, if you got nobody to protect him, that's going to be like a waste of talent. So,
yeah, I don't care how much. I agree with you. I don't care how much the game has changed. Maybe this is an overly simplistic view. But who has a pocket and who doesn't, right? Like, who gets to push on the line of scrimmage? And Giants football traditionally has been that when they've been successful. And most football teams, like, I understand guys like Garoppolo and Tom Brady make such quick reads and get rid of the ball so quickly, you can kind of perform even without a great offensive line. Those guys are few and far between, actually. Usually, even for guys who are mobile, you get the push, and you're good. You don't, and you're bad. When's the last time the Giants' offensive line has been the one winning that battle? Ugh. Trey, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, what's going on, Max? Great to be on the show. Thank you for having me. Huge fan. Your commentary is always on point.
Yes.
Let's get straight into the meat and potatoes, though. I love the Dallas Cowboys comparison. I'm a Cowboys fan. I'm not going to get into too deep of why I'm a Cowboys fan or the travesty that is our organization in the last decade or so. But what I will say is this. When Tony Romo, who was a competent quarterback and then elite status as far as his decision-making, his pocket ability, how he can, thread the needle in certain situations, just clutch factor, right? He became that otherworldly quarterback with a competent, capable offensive line. Jerry Jones knew right away, this is our main investment. This is the guy we want going forward. If we have any shot at a Super Bowl, we need to protect him and whatever running backs we got in the backfield.
Trey, the bottom line about the Cowboys is, and by the way, maybe they're not the best example because they haven't really done anything in the playoffs, but they're usually a good regular season team at least. Even last year was a disaster. They went 8-8. I want to say 4 out of 5 years, they spent a first round or else a first round or second round pick on an offensive lineman. You have to make that investment. You got to make the investment. And I understand why the Giants reached for Saquon, otherworldly, generational, once in a lifetime kind of talent. They took a running back at 2 is the bottom line. And I like what I see from Daniel Jones so far. It's promising. They reached for him at 6. Those are offensive linemen they didn't take. How's Indy feel about their pick? Indy feels pretty good about their pick, right? I think they like their right guard. Sorry, left guard. Guard, anyway. You know what I'm talking about. Quentin Nelson, you think they're happy with that pick? I'd say so. Giants have to invest that kind of stuff in the O-line. And by the way, who was the guard who was available a couple years ago when they signed Nate Solder? A totally elite guy. They whiffed there. So they went and spent the money on Nate Solder, who's a competent-ish offensive lineman, tackle-type guy. He's okay. He's better than their replacement. But not elite, but they're paying him like he's elite. The number one job of a GM in the NFL, number one, is properly price commodities, the players of the commodities. That's it. Properly price commodities. You want to know why Bill Belichick let Jamie Collins and Chandler Jones go? Even though they could ball, he's like, I can find someone else a lot cheaper to approximate the job he does there. Maybe they can do some extra stuff that the new guy can't, but for what I need that to do, I can pay this. I don't need to pay that. That's the whole job. Gettleman hasn't done that. Overpays for Solder, reaches for Daniel Jones, spends the second, this number two overall pick on Saquon Barkley. It's not that none of those things are indefensible. It's that, what is it added up to? How long do you need to change the culture of a team? They stunk on ice now, year after year. Meantime, the Steelers never have a losing season. Never. Mike Tomlin, you tell, well, what would he do without the triplets? Really? Take them out one by one. No Antonio Brown. Goodbye. No Le'Veon Bell. Goodbye. Matter of fact, let's see what happens if we take Roethlisberger away. 8-8. In the same division as the Ravens, by the way. 8-8. Remember the Browns stockpiling all the talent? They stockpiled all that talent. Baltimore. With Lamar Jackson and studs everywhere you look. They still went 8-8. Not only without their best wideout or running back who they let leave, but without their quarterback. They were playing with their third and fourth string quarterbacks. They went 8-8. What's up, Gettleman? Why are the Giants not at least 8-8 in a bad year when they're kind of a similar franchise to the Steelers? By the way, it's Rooney Mara is the actress who I was trying to think about. Like, when you think about the Steelers and the Giants, how similar they are. Northeast franchises, old school, original NFL teams, lots of Super Bowls, lots of success for the Giants in the pre-Super Bowl era, all that stuff. Like those are the similar, run the ball, stop the run when they've been good. Like, similar franchises, family-owned. And in fact, even the families are linked. Rooney Mara was a really good actress. Girl with a dragon tattoo, right? That's the granddaughter of Rooney and Mara. How cool is that, right? And yet one franchise is being well-run recently and never have a losing season, even though they have every excuse in the world, and the other franchise stinks. Why is that? As a Giants fan, I'd like to know. It really makes me mad because when I was a kid, I was a Steelers fan. I came to boxing and baseball first, then the NBA, and the NFL was the last sport I really started following closely, right? I was like, I was 8 years old when I actually started following the NFL. But as a little kid, I remembered, younger than that even, I remembered if someone asked me who I'd like, I'd just say the Steelers because the Giants were no good. This is pre-Lawrence Taylor. And the Steelers were in the Super Bowl every year. So, you know, it's the same reason little kids now like the Golden State Warriors, no matter where they live, right? Because for years and years, the Warriors were the best team. And so the Steelers were my first team where I was like, yeah, go Steelers. And then once they drafted Lawrence Taylor and they got things going in the right direction, then it was like, I started becoming aware of really the NFL and I started rooting for the Giants. And I liked the fact that those were two similar kind of teams because the out-of-market team back in the day, in the 70s, if you were a Steelers fan, that was the correct out-of-market team to root for. The Steel Curtain, Smash Mouth Football. If you were a Cowboys fan, that was the glamour team, the front-runner team to root for. You could always tell, ask someone, if they're a Cowboys fan and that's out of market, get out of here with that. If you're a Steelers fan and that's your out of market team, I get it. I get it. It says the right things about you. And I'm furious, actually, that my football Giants look like, you know, like for years now are basically non-competitive. Whereas the Pittsburgh Steelers, as usual, compete game in and game out. Season in and season out. And by the way, Roethlisberger, he looks good. 21 of 32 for 229 yards and 3 touchdowns in a win. That's good. That's as good as you can expect from a near 40-year-old who's been off from a catastrophic injury for that amount of time without a preseason. You can't expect more than that. Meantime, Eli Manning is gone. Retired. and hadn't been good for years. The Giants stubbornly stuck with him way too long. And then they reached for Daniel Jones in the draft, and maybe it'll turn out good, Daniel Jones. He shows a lot of promise, and he didn't fumble yesterday, which I like. And even the interception he threw late that got batted in the red zone, that's a dumb decision. But you know what? He's a second-year quarterback on his rookie deal. That's not the same thing as Carson Wentz making that kind of decision in his fifth year with a franchise quarterback deal. So I'll even forgive that. But no offensive line now for a decade. I can't take it anymore. As I said moments ago, Big Ben was breaking moves last night, going 21 for 32 for 229 yards and 3 touchdowns in Pittsburgh's 26-16 victory.
Breaking Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports.
You got questions, and he's got answers.
So what am I going to do here?
This is Max Me Anything.
Yeah, Raj.
Well, this is where people from the Twitterverse, man, they hit you up with things. So Tariq Amin wants to know, hey, are you worried about your Yankees? As they near the end of the season, it looks like they're not going to be making the playoffs or be able to suit up a healthy team. That should be a concern, Max.
Yes, I am worried about them. I've never seen a team racked with injuries like this, ever. I mean, it started before the season began even with Severino, a Tommy John surgery. And it just like, think about a team that has lost at-bats, like significant time. Guys like Aaron Judge hit 52 home runs as a rookie. He should have been the MVP. Altuve stole it from him. What do you want me to tell you? Like you, Giancarlo Stanton, Gleyber Torres, Andujar, and then they came up with Urshela. Like one guy after another who's like, oh my God, no one's hit that many home runs for the Yankees at that age or ever since like Joe DiMaggio or Alex Rodriguez even or something like that. Guys are missing at-bats everywhere, like long periods of time. They've just been bit by the injury bug. It was a tough luck year.
That's true. A familiar theme this season. Okay, this next one, it says Colin, but I'm pretty sure it's Liam Chapman, one of our guys there. It says, why do Americans refuse to fully accept football, soccer, as the biggest and best sport in the world, which is viewed by most of the world?
Because it's an inferior sport. Inferior. Let me be very clear. What do I mean by that? Like, I love baseball, Raj, right? I want to talk more about the Yankees. How dare Brian Cashman not have more worlds? Like, you don't have to win the World Series every year, Raj, but as the GM of the Yankees, you must win the World Series more than the team, your rival in your division, at least. Certainly, and by the way, more than anyone else, period, but certainly more than the Red Sox. Well, I don't want to hear it. Like, I could talk about the Yankees all day, but I admit it's because I grew up with baseball. Baseball's inferior to football and basketball. It's a consumer sport, of course. That's why it's losing ground. Same thing with soccer. It's not as good as basketball or football, so it took root in places that didn't have basketball or football. I'll tell you what can't happen. Any country that already has basketball and football, soccer would never take over. It just wouldn't, because it's not as good.
Right,
and by the way, why do soccer people get so offended by that? I admit it about baseball. You grew up with soccer. You love it. Good for you. It means a lot to you. I don't begrudge you that. But don't stand around and complain and pretend that it's as good as basketball or football.
All right. Well, this is Max Me Anything. I'm glad you took a moment to answer something about soccer. Now, this one's from Gary Imbo. It says, thoughts on holding Giannis to the same standard as Harden now that he's likely two-time MVP who has failed to elevate in the playoffs? Is he also now officially a choker, man?
A little bit different in Giannis's case. Harden has played with other MVP or at least high-level all-star style players, right? Harden had Chris Paul. Harden's had Westbrook. And then once upon a time, he was a sixth man, but very young on an excellent team. Obviously, a dream team if you look at the talent. But they were all very young, KD and Westbrook and Harden and Ibaka. But he's also been on other teams, like as I mentioned, with all-star plus players, 4.5 star players at least. That's not Giannis. You know, Middleton's an all-star style player, but that's it. He's not all-star plus. And he's a big. He needs to be paired with someone else. But has Giannis underachieved in the playoffs? Yes, he has. No question about it.
All right. What else? This last one from Michael W. Hall 4. This is on Twitter. You can always ask Max anything. We all know how you feel.
Oh, wait. Is this called Axe Max?
No, we asked the Axe Max. We went with Max Me Anything.
Oh, that's right. I kind of like Axe Max better.
I brought up Axe Max, and you said you wanted to keep the name.
That's
Max
not the way I choose to remember it. I choose to remember that I wanted Axe Max.
No, I brought up Axe Max, but you axed Axe Max, so now we're Max Me Anything.
Axe Max?
Yes.
Expired.
Like axe. Yeah, that's what you did to it. So, hey, we all know how you feel about Tom Brady, but why? Is it because he's so much taller than you, has six rings, is married to a supermodel, is with hundreds of millions of dollars, is still playing at a level no other quarterback at his age is or ever will, or is it because he's generally a nice guy, Max?
Nothing against Tom Brady, other than he's old and he's not as good as he used to be, and no one else seems to want to say it. I got nothing. I called him the greatest of all time years ago. As a matter of fact, when people were saying Peyton Manning was better and Brett Favre was better, I'm going back like 10 years, 12 years. I was like, no, Brady's better. I'd take him over either one of those guys. But the two things, he's 43 years old, so, you know, he's not elite anymore. And the other thing is, he was great, but the reason he's the greatest of all time is because of Bill Belichick. In other words, does anyone really believe if Brady was on the Saints and Drew Brees was on the Patriots all this time, that Brady would have more rings than Drew Brees? If you put Drew Brees, if you gave Drew Brees to Bill Belichick, he'd have, maybe even it wouldn't be six rings, it'd be five rings. But he'd be the guy we'd all be thinking about. If you put Aaron Rodgers with Bill Belichick, he'd be the guy. If Russell Wilson, take any top, like, great player at that position, put him with Bill Belichick, and he'd have multiple rings. So Tom Brady obviously helped Bill Belichick, but not as much as Bill Belichick helped Tom Brady. And everyone knows that. I don't know why we're pretending otherwise. And as far as the other stuff, do I like the fact that he's taller and better looking and richer and all that, those kind of things? I'm not crazy about it. It's not on the top of my list of things that I love. Might that be influencing my player hating? Well, in this respect, maybe. In my day, Raj, in your day too, you're old like me, the best quarterback in the world had the decency to look like a normal guy you'd have a beer with. Joe Montana. Joe Montana looked like a regular guy. How dare Tom Brady be tall and look like a model? Will you stop it? He could have the decency at least to look like a normal guy like Joe Montana. Who, by the way, was 4-0 in Super Bowls and didn't throw interceptions. I'm just going to mention that. All right, the NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight as Kemba Walker and the Celtics battle the Heat, and what a matchup this is in the Eastern Conference, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. And speaking of the NBA, Game 7. Whew. It's time for some straight talk. You know what covering your bases in baseball means, right? It's making sure you have no holes in your defense. Well, that's the kind of coverage you get with Straight Talk Wireless. And you'll pay up to 50% less than big carriers and still use their same networks. Just $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G. No contract, no mystery fees. Fully covering your bases for 50% less. Straight Talk Wireless, only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. The show is brought to you by Pennzoil Synthetic Motor Oils. They're made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Let's go to Game 7. Kawhi Leonard. Look, if you go to a Game 7 in the NBA, it's because the teams are evenly matched, period. And in Game 7, the winner is almost always the team with the best player. Jokic has too often, when they needed it, been the best player on the floor, as he was in Game 6. LeBron James is waiting for you, Kawhi. As I said yesterday on this show and on First Take, he's sitting there waiting. And I'm the guy who's been telling people since last year after the finals, Kawhi Leonard just took the throne. Now, people have made the persuasive argument, look, without LeBron James there, you can't say he took the throne. You can say the title is divided. You know, they're going to duke it out this season to see who's on the throne. Well, okay, because Giannis is gone, of course. It's the playoffs, so you know Harden's gone. KD's hurt. Steph and them never had a chance because they were hurt. LeBron's waiting. Is Kawhi going to be there? He better be. And by the way, the team will follow the leader. Remember Game 7 when the Rockets didn't have Chris Paul, but they had the Warriors, the unbeatable KD, fully healthy with Klay, fully healthy with Steph and Dre. Warriors, those Warriors. The Rockets were so good that year, they had the home game in Game 7. Warriors had to go to them. And the Rockets had the worst shooting game in the history of basketball. At one point, I want to say they were like 0 for 30, or maybe they finished the game 3 for 27, something crazy from 3. And Harden was no good. Follow the leader. And by the way, if the rest of the team is struggling, then the leader has to elevate that much more. No excuses. Kawhi has to win tonight. And in order to win, he's going to have to be the best player on the floor. And by the way, it's not easy because Jokic and Jamal Murray have played out of their minds at different points in these playoffs. And Michael Porter Jr. is that third wheel who may be more talented ultimately than either one of those guys as a scorer. Let's see. And he could do other things, not just score. Kawhi's got to be the best player on the floor. If Paul George isn't stepping up, Lou Williams will to help him out offensively. If Montrezl Harrell and Zubac are getting used by Jokic, who's just a more talented player than them, Kawhi's got to make up the difference. Both ends of the floor. No excuses. LeBron is waiting, Kawhi. I've been saying you're the best player in the game. Don't make a liar out of me. Now, the only saving grace for Kawhi is if the Clippers lose to the Nuggets, and then the Nuggets go on and beat the Lakers. Now, I don't see that happening. I think the Clippers are going to win tonight. I think if the Nuggets do win, the Lakers will take care of them in the next round. But let's not forget, the Cardiac Kids, these dudes were down 3-1 to an unstoppable-looking Donovan Mitchell and the Utah Jazz. Remember what Donovan was doing? And Jamal Murray rose to the challenge and knocked them out in a great 7-game series. And then they were down 3-1 to the Clippers, exhausted from that series. Clippers catching a break because Porzingis went down with injury and he was ejected from a game on a bogus second tee. And the Nuggets came all the way back on the Clippers, and now they've knotted it up, and there's a Game 7. So if Kawhi doesn't win this game, the only thing that saves him is if the Nuggets go on to beat the Lakers, and I think the odds are long that that will happen. But you cannot count this Denver team out. They've been special in these playoffs. Check out ESPN Audio at Home by telling Alexa to play news from ESPN. ESPN Audio at Home is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes. From customization and service to financial assistance, Mercedes-Benz Vans are ready for anything. Bruce Arians, by the way, said something about Tom Brady you need to hear. Last Take is next. And by the way, for DIY projects, do-it-yourself projects, you know the Home Depot's always in your corner. Now, with their mobile app, it can also be in the palm of your hand with digital tools like image search. Just snap a picture of something, it'll recognize it, and serve up product suggestions in seconds. And their product locator will check availability and lead you right to it. And I would tell you the rest of this, but Raj has refused to put it on my screen for some reason. Oh, there it is. Download the app today to get started. The Home Depot, how doers get more done. Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. All guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if you could save hundreds on your car insurance.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because I know I'm First Take. I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's Last Take.
What was I going to do Last Take on? I already forgot, Raj. So here we go. Here we go. Tom Brady. I said he was going to fall off a cliff when I first got on First Take. That was, 4 years ago. I said in the next 18 months, meaning I even said at the time, I think he could win a Super Bowl that year, but it'll be the way like Peyton Manning won the Super Bowl with the Broncos. He was obviously cooked, but he was still smart enough as a veteran and everything and clutch enough to win a Super Bowl. Not that Peyton was usually very clutch in the playoffs, but he had learned over time. Now, Brady defied that expectation. He was great that year that I made the prediction, and they came back on Atlanta. He was great the following year, and they – wait a minute. Did he come back on Seattle? I forgot there's so many Super Bowls since I made that prediction. And he would – like, the last time Brady was great, he had defied the cliff by one full season. In other words, 18 months from the time I said it really meant two seasons of football. And he actually was still great three seasons later when he – he lost the Super Bowl, but he threw for over 500 yards, and they never had to punt. That's an all-time great performance by Brady, even in a loss. So he defied the cliff prediction by a full year. I will give it to him. It's just the truth. But then the following year, in the midst of the greatest offensive explosion of all time across the league, because of the roughing the passer penalties were called at ridiculously out of proportion. You breathe on a quarterback. Remember that year? They were in Kansas City. That the linebacker got a hold of Brady, and then he let go. He didn't know if he was going to get whistleblown, and Brady walked into the end zone. Remember that? Patriots won that game. That's how ridiculous the rules have gotten. So they've kept upright and still playing because of no catastrophic injuries. Guys like Breeze and Brady, the rule has worked, and that's the way the league wanted it, and I can't blame them. I think that contributed to Brady's ability to keep playing. Nevertheless, my prediction was wrong by a year. But that season that they won the Super Bowl against the Rams, Brady was a game manager. Good, smart game manager who won the lowest scoring Super Bowl in the history of the NFL behind an all-time great defense. It's usually not perceived that way because the front seven wasn't vicious. It was the secondary because the game has changed. But still, an all-time great defense in a running game. Bill Belichick saw the decline, wanted to move on from Brady to Garoppolo. Brady did an end around, went right to Belichick, said, hey, why don't you get rid of Garoppolo? I want to stay. But went right to Robert Kraft. Robert Kraft cut the GM, also the coach, Bill Belichick's legs out from under him, shipped Garoppolo out of town, and Belichick's left with Brady, who he knew was only a game manager, which is not a bad thing to be. It's just not like the best player in football or one of the top elite quarterbacks anymore. Belichick knew Garoppolo wasn't as good as Brady, probably would never be as good as Brady, but, you know, in his prime. But Garoppolo was young, he was very good, and it would mean continuity for the Patriots. He'd held the clipboard for Brady for a couple years. At any rate, Garoppolo's gone, the cupboard's bare. Brady goes to the Bucs, who are loaded with weapons, because Belichick wouldn't let, the snake oil salesman Brady's in bed with, in business with, to take over the Patriots facility, basically, with his TB12 brand. When I say snake oil salesman, it's because Brady's partner in TB12 has been sanctioned, essentially, for selling snake oil and making claims that it can cure cancer and stuff. We were ridiculous. Anyway, the point is, Brady's in Tampa, has all the weapons in the world. Has Gronk there. Gronk may only be the third best tight end on the team, with Brayton and O.J. Howard. Remember how people were talking about O.J. Howard out of college? And he's good. He's really good. Mike Evans. Chris Godwin. Now they got Leonard Fournette out of the backfield. Underrated defense. And Bruce Arians is a coach who, by the way, I don't mind him calling Brady out. Good for him for saying, and he walked back the Mike Evans stuff. Remember what he said? Both interceptions were on Brady. He looked at it again. He said, nope, that one was on Mike Evans. The other one's on Brady. I think it's good for the team that the coach can call out the star quarterback. But there's a way to call a guy out. Listen to what Bruce Arians said about Tom Brady.
He looked like Tom Brady in practice all the time, so it's kind of unusual to see that in the ball game because they didn't do the things that we didn't get ready for. Everything they did, we thought we were ready for. I think it's a great learning experience. It's just round one of a 16 round fight, and we'll learn from it.
Hold on, that's everything but the sound I wanted, guys. The grit and determination. Play that part. Oh, we don't have the part I asked for. Okay. Well, never mind that sound. That was nothing that was significant for what I'm about to say. What Bruce Arians went on to say, you'll have to take my word for it, is he hopes that Brady shows more grit and determination next week. Grit and determination. Yeah, he's trying to push Tom Brady's buttons, but that's like panic buttons. When you're willing to humiliate the greatest of all time after one game, saying, obviously, you can infer he didn't have enough grit and determination. Oof. Chinay Ngolit Jr. coming up right now. I'll be back tomorrow, ESPN Radio.